Welcome to a new edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey there.
And it was sure nice to see some hockey on television yesterday.
First game in 141 days.
Is it really been that long?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's longer than an off season, isn't it? Or something like that?
I think so. Like it. I mean, if you think about, you know, when the Stanley Cup ends in mid-June and then training camp and all that, the exhibition games pick up in September. I mean, it's close.
Yeah. I don't know. It was really nice. And, you know, the exhibition game, so it didn't really mean much. It was each team that's in the bubble has an exhibition game, and they were saying that they tried to pair them up against one of their biggest rivals, so the Florida Panthers. The Lightning played, and I would say dominated.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Obviously, the Lightning were without Hedman, who did
or
not...
Stamkos.
So Stamkos was coming back from the injury. Yeah. And then Hedman had a personal issue, business.
And he'll be with the team on Friday.
Yep. Yeah. And I think Stamkos will be as well. From what it sounded like Dave and Phil were saying, you know, he could have gone, and it was kind of last minute. They decided, nope, we're not going to have him play in this game. Makes sense. Why not?
I mean, are we talking about Hedman or Stamkos?
Stamkos.
Right.
Stamkos. Yeah.
So, for me, for the round robin tournament, maybe the last game of the round robin. But for me, you don't put Stamkos in until we're playing for the cup. Like the round robin for the four teams that are at the top of each conference is for seeding in the final bracket. So it's like we're not playing for our lives to get into the playoffs. We are in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Right.
We're just playing for seeding. So for me, it's like maybe you put him in on that last game versus Philly so he can get his legs under him and get some play time, but I wouldn't risk putting him in before that, but I'm not the coach either. So that's just me.
Well, Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov made it a point to let us know that it's okay.
We're good.
Time off.
Yeah, I mean... So when I was watching the game, they were talking about how, you know, because Braden Point came back and he had, I'm not sure if it was double hip surgery or he had surgery on his hips last off season. And so he missed the first couple games of the season because he was still recovering from that. And I guess they were saying that he didn't get a chance to train like he normally would to be up to speed. And it wasn't like he was playing bad, but having 4 or 5 months off to start training the way he wants to. That's all I can say about him in that game.
Yeah. And Cooper had said earlier in the week, I believe, that he was really pleased with all the player conditioning.
Yeah.
Which I think everybody, you and I even off, you know, not, you know, while we were in this huge delay, we're, oh gosh, what's it going to be like conditioning wise? But man, they looked fresh. They looked ready to go. And I was kind of, my thought was as we were, I was listening to pregame because I listened to Dave and Phil and Kaylee and Greg. Fantastic job, all four
always.
Of them. Always. And they had, you know, I was thinking to myself, where does momentum, you know, when you get to the last part of the where the season ended in March or went on hiatus, when does the momentum of that last couple weeks start kicking in for the playoffs? So you have that continuum going. And when is it these guys are tired and need a break? And it's kind of that, you know, I don't want to say catch 22, but it's kind of like a seesaw. Like, well, they're tired. They've been, you know, that crazy run from December on.
Right.
And I looked at it and I was like, oh my goodness, Braden Coburn, Shattenkirk, McDonough.
They all look
no
great.
Problem.
Yeah.
They all looked great.
Well, it's kind of like in every sport, as you're getting into the playoff, like getting into that playoff season, you know, it's that big question of, do you rest guys if you're already in? Do you keep them playing so they have that momentum? And I think for the Lightning, because of some of the injuries that they were dealing with that maybe we didn't know of in March, I think it worked out really well for them. And these guys did not just sit on their butts eating potato chips like I've been doing since, you know, everything was shut down. They've clearly really been working out, and they looked really hungry yesterday, and I was uber impressed. And you know, Andre Vasilevsky played all 60 minutes. He stopped 26 of 26 shots to earn a shutout, which I was not expecting. I was like, okay, if he's going to have an off game, this is a game he's going to have. No. And him playing all 60 minutes, like I was watching the first game the day before, and I think both goaltenders only played half a game, and then they put in the backup to get some play time. So that's kind of what I was expecting. But Vasilevsky and Bobrovsky, I believe, played the entire game, which was interesting.
It is interesting. And they mentioned it after the game, Dave and Phil did, that it sounds like Cooper wants to do a 70-30. So okay. It'd be like 70 Vasilevsky, 30, you know,
McElhinney.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. But holy goodness, Vasilevsky, what an absolute game. And to be fair, Bobrovsky had a really, really, really nice first period. That stop on Killorn's backhand, he completely robbed Killorn of that.
Right. And that backhand of Killorn, holy cow, he hasn't just been trying to be an influencer this whole time either.
Yeah, he hasn't been just riding around on his jet ski. No, it was incredible. And then, you know, Braden Point just kind of, you know, broke it open.
He is so fast. I mean, we know he's fast, but it just looked like he found another gear in the last 4 months. Just incredible. Like, yeah. I think you could tell that the Panthers were frustrated, you know, and I wasn't really sure what kind of compete level there was going to be yesterday because, you know, they don't have a lot of time to prepare. So they need to get into that gear quickly. But then there's always, you know, you're afraid something might happen or something might tweak the wrong way. So I wasn't really sure if it was going to be, you know, what kind of compete level there was. But there was, I mean, they were, and there were fights too. Sergachev got in a fight with Boyle. And then there was another little scuffle behind the net at one point too.
Well, I was a little irritated at Sergachev for that.
Why?
And the reason, because I thought Boyle had a clean hit on him. You can't lose your discipline and, you know, kind of go after the guy. I mean, I thought Boyle had a clean hit on him. You know, I was watching the replay a couple times. I'm like, no, that, you know, when you get to the playoffs, you cannot put your team down 5-3.
True.
And so he had the fighting and then he had the slashing, I think, on Boyle. So,
right. And then there was another penalty shortly after too.
So it was like a 5-on-3 and you just can't put your team in that situation. Now he's still, you know, relatively young. But I think the emotions were getting to him, but like of all guys, like Brian Boyle, come on.
Well, they've had some history though. They've had some history though. There was a fight before when they met. And you know what? It being an exhibition game, I'm kind of like, okay, as long as he knows that when we really get down the brass tacks, like this is not something that you can put your team in a position for.
Yeah.
But I also think it shows that, hey, we're not going to be pushed around either, which is something we were missing last year.
Yeah. I think, you know, adding Pat Maroon kind of helps out a lot. He's he's definitely not a goon or at any, you know, means, but he's a big guy.
Yeah.
You know, we do have some guys that aren't afraid to kind of get physical. Little Yanni Gord, he loves it. But I do get concerned when you see something like that. And it could have been just maybe a personal thing. Yeah. Like you said, there is a little history. Boyle hits him. He thinks it, you know, personal. Listen, Cooper's going to go over all this stuff with them.
Yeah. I'm not concerned about that.
You know, I mean, I don't think it would happen. You know, there's enough veterans on that team, especially on the defense, to be like, hey, bro, you got to keep your emotions in check. You just can't do those things. So, you know, kind of let that go. Sergachev did have a great, I thought the defense looked incredible.
Yeah. And I see on your note on here, Shattenkirk gets your vote for 4-star of the game. I agree that the defense looks incredible. And like Luke Shen getting a goal, like, I mean, that when you're getting scoring from all different people, that's always a good sign.
Yep. And, you know, the penalty kill was great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, going down 5-3 and killing that off.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing they need to work on was faceoffs. That was a glaring, you know, thing that they still need to work on. But, boy, if they can keep that intensity up, keep the, you know, the special teams going as well as good as they played. It'll get better.
Yeah, a lot of turnovers. I do think, like, with maybe 4 minutes left, and maybe because they were up 4-0, I do think with 4 minutes left or so, they started to look a little tired, which is just that conditioning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the schedule for them for the round robin is pretty good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think they'll work up to that. And I think, you know, they're ready to play. And it made me very happy to see that, you know.
Yeah.
So
it was good to be back. I definitely think it was more positive than negatives. I mean, like I said, I think face-offs probably were the biggest negative to me.
Yeah.
But that's why they play these games. Kind of work out the kinks, see, try different things. The real quick before we go, the passing between Kucherov and Point. Was so good.
It was like a clinic.
And I was like, you never would have known 141 game days since their last game.
No, it almost looked like they were quarantining together.
And, right. Yeah. The chemistry was just dead on. It was so spot on. And it makes you feel real good as a Lightning fan to see your team come out, because there's a lot of teams that have looked a little sloppy so far.
Yeah. I was watching that first day of games, some highlights, and I was like, okay. And so I wasn't really sure what to expect, but Cooper said he thought his guys were ready and they looked good, and gosh darn it, were they. So
yes.
All right. So we're doing 10-minute game misconducts, usually the night of an exhibition, or sorry, we're done exhibition games. There's only one. Doing them the night of, any of the games for the round robin or the day after. So keep checking our socials for updates on when you can hear them, as a podcast on your time. So 10-minute game misconducts for the remainder of the playoffs. And I did want to, I bought something on the Lightning website yesterday. So they've got their Distant Thunder playoff shirts, which are super cool, because they say Toronto on them. And when are you going to get like that again? Hopefully never. but they also have a shirt out that is basically hockey in a bubble. And it's like cartoon of like bubble hockey.
Aww.
And I was like, that's classic. Like, I mean, come on. I was like, that's awesome. So always, you know, I'm sure the Lightning are going to be really up on great shirts. I mean, they had the straight out of Harvard stuff and all that fun stuff. So they, you know, they have a nice little sense of humor when it comes to playoff merchandise. So definitely keep an eye out on those. And, you know, there's some great articles being written on TampaBayLightning.com as well about, you know, the experience and what the teams are going through. I just find it fascinating that all these guys are in a bubble, away from their families, which I thought it was a really nice touch that the Lightning put in those digital picture frames in all the players' rooms so that their families could update with photos, you know, recent photos of them. I thought that was a great touch, and it seems like all the players are super happy with the accommodations, which is, you know, good, and they're keeping everybody safe. So I find that all fascinating as well. So, and they had 9,000 pounds of equipment go with them. So, you know, I hate packing for like a 2-day trip. I can't imagine packing for something like this.
So there's a bubble.
Yeah. So there's a really great article where they talked to Rob Kennedy, who's one of the friends of the show, about what it was like packing for this, which they've never had to do before. So really interesting on that. And kind of new and interesting for sure.
It's going to be definitely interesting once the games start counting.
Right.
Without having fans. And
right. And I thought the arena looked amazing. Like, the NHL really did a great job. I thought the arena looked amazing. And they also had the pane of glass that all the fans signed that went with the team to Toronto in the board. Like, they actually put it in the arena. Around the rink.
I didn't know they were going to do that. I thought it was just going to go with them.
Me too. But I thought that was so amazing to see that. Yeah. So
do you know if they have to switch? Do they have to switch it out when the Lightning aren't playing? I think
they do, because I noticed there were like some local sponsors on the boards behind the player bench, at least for Florida Panthers. Okay. And I'm like, you know what? They're probably switching out.
Yep. I bet they do.
All of the sponsors and all of that, you know, pop, maybe around the boards and behind the player benches and all of that. I mean, and there's usually like they're playing, they did a segment on what the ice crew would have to go through. Normally it's like a 3-hour process to change over before another game or something. And they're mm-hmm. taking that and condensing it into an hour. Mm. So, I mean, it's really interesting. All the logistics that are going into this new way of doing hockey. So I was just, it brought a smile to my face to be able to watch a live game.
I know.
On television again. It made me feel like we're kind of slowly getting back to a somewhat of a normalcy. So, and it was
just hope everybody stays safe and stays healthy.
Yeah. And it, you know, it was just really, it was good. It made me so happy. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. We might've gone over 10 minutes, but that's fine. And we will catch you next time on Game Misconduct, it'll be, following the game on Monday, August 3rd against the Washington Capitals. And this is the first one that'll count for something, seeding in the final bracket. So we'll see how that goes, meeting Alexander Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals. We'll catch you next time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.